AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. It's Fed Day, and many of the markets that saw risk-off selling earlier this week are getting a bounce today. It's a busy time of the year, and busy can lead to accidents. Let's talk about how to prevent those from happening. And it's time for the Farmer Forum with crop updates from Iowa and North Dakota.
Live from the Ides of June via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we begin with a conversation with Doug Lapp, president of the Chester, Delaware County, Pennsylvania Farm Bureau. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Jay Myers and Tim Barak. Right after the news, Margie Eckelkamp from The Scoop joins I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, man, still a little gloomy out there. It hasn't really gotten too hot yet today.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, it feels like we're heading in that direction, doesn't it?
I would call it hazy more than gloomy.
Yeah.
Did you happen to catch the moon last night? I believe it was a strawberry moon.
Yeah,
they called it. I was out and about at just the perfect time.
Yeah.
Just super bright, super huge, really nifty.
Yeah,
That's my full report. Yeah.
really nifty.
Nifty. Why? Is the call.
We don't use nifty enough.
Not nearly enough.
No, it's very good. I know exactly what you mean,
yep,
Davis,
yep.
When mm-hmm. you said that it was nifty.
Now, this as there was a nifty light show going on in other parts of the atmosphere above.
Right. Yeah, a very active night, no question about it. And heads up to the middle of the country. I mean, all of the middle of the country, because there is enhanced risk of severe mm-hmm. weather.
Oh, for sure.
For this afternoon and into this evening again and overnight and overnight. Yep. And like you said, man, we had 1.75 inches of rain here outside the bunker over the last 24 hours, dude.
Yeah. And we farm folk, or at least those who were raised on a farm, know that when it gets hot like this, man, a lot of heat in the atmosphere can lead to extremely volatile and potentially dangerous conditions. So
that's
heads
right.
up, everybody.
It can happen in a hurry. All right, buddy. Hey, let's get to it. What you got in the news?
Well, Chip, the Commerce Department said this morning U.S. retail spending fell 0.3% in May amid high inflation, rising interest rates, and weakening consumer confidence. Last week, the average 30-year fixed-rate mortgage increased to 5.65%. According to a daily measure from Mortgage News Daily, the 30-year mortgage hit 6.28% yesterday. After reaching record lows around 2.7% in late 2020, rates started at 22 at 3.29%. However, total U.S. home equity increased almost 20% in the first quarter to a record high.
See, that's kind of moving in the right direction, but it's like we talked about with Dr. Malanga yesterday, Vince Malanga on yesterday's show. This increase in the interest rates, the housing market is going to slow and is already slowing. He's seeing some signs of that.
And those home equity levels right now, okay, a record high in the first quarter, but if mortgages are more expensive, it does feel like home values are going to have to come down to reach out to buyers.
It certainly does.
Yeah?
It certainly does, yes.
Well, Bloomberg reports that some Biden administration officials are privately concerned that U.S. and European sanctions on Russia are exacerbating inflation, worsening food insecurity, and punishing ordinary Russians rather than pressuring President Vladimir Putin or his allies. This as the International Energy Agency reports Russia's oil export revenues surged to around $20 billion in May, despite shipping lower volumes, as a rally in global energy prices buoyed its coffers.
See, I'm not sure I can even talk about this issue, not after the speech that President Biden made yesterday, where, you know, it's none of the excessive spending of the government. It's mm-hmm. none of his policies that are contributing to the inflation that we're dealing with. And he's worried about the average Russian citizen. Worry right. about the average American citizen. Let's put your focus there.
Well, Ukraine will send grain to the Romanian Black Sea port of Constanta as it tries to avoid a storage and logistics bottleneck as winter crop harvest begins. According to the Kyiv School of Economics, Ukraine has suffered $4.3 billion in damage to farmland, machinery, and livestock due to Russia's invasion. About half of the already immense destruction from the war comes from pollution caused by mines and unharvested crops.
Right, and they're talking about using some of the temporary storage. You know, it sounds like bags to store this year's harvest.
Oof.
Put them in the right place. Don't put them right on the border. That's too easy for the Russians to get.
Right.
Put it in the middle of the country.
Well, as we've discussed, investors now believe the Fed today will raise will hike rates by 75 basis points following the unexpected acceleration in CPI and inflation expectations in May. The European Central Bank's Governing Council held a surprise meeting today amid investor concern about whether it can juggle rising interest rates with keeping bond yields in check. A measure known as Europe's fear gauge has hit its highest level since early 2020.
Yep.
The Wall Street Journal reports Republicans are working on plans they say will help fight inflation, focusing on tax cuts, fewer regulations, and more trade deals, and rescinding unused federal spending. The policies are a preview of the fall midterm election campaigns, where inflation is likely to be top of mind for many voters. And finally, House Ag Chairman David Scott announced the first in a series of listening sessions entitled, quote, a 2022 review of the Farm Bill, perspectives from the field. The series of listening sessions will allow House Ag committee members to gather input from producers and consumers on the ground across the country. Chip.
You know, it's not very often that on Wednesday I'll say I can't wait for Friday, but I can't wait for Friday in the free-for-all to talk with Jim Wiesmeyer about his evolving attitude toward what this next farm bill is going to be. Mm-hmm. It's featured in this week's Pro Farmer newsletter. And, mm-hmm. guys, it's awesome. It's a great read. I'm going to try to get a preview of it out of Jim when we talk on Friday. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Let's bring in Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop. Good morning, Margie.
Good morning, Chip.
Hey, heat. It's causing stress for everybody. What are retailers doing to deal with it?
Well, we've got widespread heat that's ranging from Texas to Wisconsin to Ohio to Georgia. And so for everyone out there doing those necessary jobs, whether it be in the equipment lot or out in the field scouting, it's time to watch out for yourself and watch out for each other. I think that was my top takeaway from a piece we put together that's available at agweb.com and thedailyscoop.com. And that is, folks who are starting to feel heat stress may be less inclined to acknowledge it. So let's watch out for each other. They may start showing signs of confusion. And so when folks are tired or showing those signs, it's time to take a break. And for everyone, stay hydrated, take breaks, try to do the heavy jobs, the really strenuous jobs when it's not in the middle of the heat of the day. And you can check out all the signs of both heat exhaustion and heat stroke again on our websites. But we are facing those high heat indexes across a wide swath of the country. And for folks, it's not just temperature, right? It's the combination of temperature with humidity. And our bodies aren't able to sweat with those high humidities and high temperatures, so we cannot regulate our internal temperature ourselves as well.
Right. And when you start to think that there is something wrong, there's something wrong.
You know, Chip, it makes me think of those days back at Cordon College, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. That's exactly right.
A tale for another time, folks. A tale for another time.
All right. Thank you, Margie. Appreciate it. That's Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop. Get more at www.thedailyscoop.com.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for, only on MachineryPete.com.
Yeah, Davis, you know, we talk about managing the heat stress on livestock.
Yes.
And we probably don't talk about managing heat stress on ourselves. Mm-hmm. and making sure that you're taking care of yourself when you're out there working in the kind of conditions that we're dealing with right now. And hey, it may not be a pattern that is going to be persistent through the summer, but this is not the last of the heat that we're going to deal with this summer. So don't let it get away from you. If it breaks you down once, it takes a long time to recover from heat stress, man.
You got to take care of the people's stock too.
That's right. That is exactly right. It's all about farm safety. And I want to talk a little bit about farm safety right now. We're going to do that with Doug Lapp. Doug is the president of the Chester, Delaware County Farm Bureau out in Pennsylvania, and he joins us right now. Doug, welcome to AgriTalk.
Hey, Chip, good to talk to you.
Yeah, it's good to talk with you, too. Now, for those of you that don't know, Doug is at 14CatBird on Twitter. I've been following him for a while, and paying attention to what he's doing out there in Pennsylvania. And you know what, Doug? I've always assumed that you're in Western Pennsylvania, but I don't know that for a fact. Where is Chester, Delaware counties?
Chester, Delaware County is about an hour west of Philadelphia, and I consider us to be the northernmost tip of the Delmarva Peninsula.
Okay.
We farm somewhat similar to there. The poultry is a big thing out here. There's a big Tyson plant in New Holland, Lancaster County, which is just our west. So that's right. The region we're in.
Yeah, you know, Pennsylvania is one of those states that I kept pointing at and saying, hey, you know, they're behind on getting their corn in the ground. What's the status? What's the situation?
we always say we can plant our corn in about 8 to 10 days. And we did that this year, but those 8 to 10 days were spaced over 5 weeks because we got about 2 days per week. So we got most of our soybeans planted the 15th to the 20th of April, and we started the corn planter running about the 22nd of April, and we finished the 25th of May. So it took a while, but we got her in.
Okay. Now, is poultry the number one market for your corn?
Yes. Feed mills are certainly in southeastern Pennsylvania where our corn goes to. Actually the Delmarva got hit pretty hard with avian influenza, and that actually crashed our corn basis because of the feed demand. So,
okay.
Yep.
Interesting. Interesting. So you are obviously involved with the County Farm Bureau president there in Pennsylvania. Why, Doug? Why did you get involved?
I got involved out of college. I graduated from a small school in 2015, and I've always liked politics and realizing that if we want something changed in agriculture, we have to deal with politicians, and it's a whole lot easier if we're all speaking together with one voice than if each of us go to a representative separately and try to get something accomplished. It makes agriculture much more effective in getting accomplished what we need to stay a viable industry in this country.
Yeah. Interesting. So I assume that you're taking advantage of the training that comes through Farm Bureau with the communications and everything?
As much as I can with everything going on right now. I'm not someone who doesn't get involved halfway in things. So I get myself spread a little thin once in a while, but that's kind of the way it goes.
Yeah, talking about getting a little bit thin spread, Doug reached out to me I think it was just on Monday and said, hey, there's something that happened up here that I want to get on and talk about on the show with you. And I'm, you know, I'm obviously we're willing to do that. So when we got back to him, he says, you know, I'd love to do it on Tuesday, but instead we're going to be having, what was it, your second child?
That's right. Yep.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. I'm currently sitting outside the Women's and Babies Hospital, so I'm off the farm for the day.
Well, that's outstanding. Good news for your family there, Doug. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, you're also the deputy chief at the, I think I've got this right, Cochranville Fire Company. Is that right?
That's right. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been a member there since I was 14, and I'm now the deputy chief.
Since you were 14. Good for you, man. That's outstanding. Outstanding. It gets you into some situations that you don't want to be a part of from time to time, doesn't it?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that happened 2 weeks ago today. There was a neighbor who his son and another young man, both around juniors in high school, loaded up into a tractor pulling a hay wagon. And they had to go 3/4 of a mile down the road and pull onto another farm to unload the hay in that barn to store it. So they were in the tractor. The one guy was in the buddy seat, and they went to turn onto the other farm, and they had to turn left and cross traffic. Yeah. And the tractor was well lit, had its four ways and turn signal on, the beacons. But the hay on the wagon made it that vehicles behind them couldn't see the lighting. On the back of the wagons, they had the SMV reflective triangles, so they were legally marked. But when they went to turn into the farm lane, a crane was trying to pass them. And neither the crane driver nor the tractor driver saw it in time. So as they were starting to turn, they and the crane collided. The tractor ended up rolling onto the door side of the tractor cab, and one of the young men was pinned at the waist under the tractor. And thankfully, everything came together very well on an emergency management side, that everyone is alive. The young man who was trapped had to be airlifted to a trauma center. He did have to have part of both legs amputated. But he's alive and he's in good spirits, and it leaves the community with a sense of both grief and relief and wondering what could have been done to prevent such a thing.
Right. And Doug, in the note that you sent me, you said that this was truly an accident. Both parties were operating in a legal and safe manner, and it happened.
Right. Right. Yeah. The road, it was a passing zone, so the crane was well within his right to pass the tractor. He, from all the way it looks, was not going at an excessive speed. They just couldn't see each other, and the hay bales were blocking the turn signal. And it just, it's truly an accident, and it just breaks your heart because, man, what else could you do? And that's, we've got to be able to...
Doug, what else can you do on those wagons where that they are blocking the vision of the tractor and those turn signals?
So all you legally need to be legal is the reflective triangle on the back. But in today's day and age, with the way LED lighting has improved, when a farmer's going down the road, or doing anything, we usually think, I'll be fine. I've done this hundreds of times, but it's a matter of time until it's not you that's in that tractor. It's your son, someone else's son. And we owe it to ourselves to take the time to spend a little bit of money to find a way to get, even if it's just turn signals on the back of some of these older wagons, just to make it safer. Just because something's legal doesn't mean it's the best it can be. And I think that's where we have the best place to improve on what happened. And to learn from this, we can be thankful that everybody's alive, but we can do things to make sure that something like this doesn't have to happen again.
Exactly. We've only got about a minute and a half left here, Doug. I can't believe that this has gone so fast. How was the accident handled, in your opinion?
The accident was handled very well. There was a state trooper who saw it happen, so he was on scene right away. And I do want to leave with this. If there would have been bystanders around and they would have tried to lift the tractor off the young man and pull him out, he would have died because the tractor was working as a tourniquet and it was keeping the pressure on his leg so he wouldn't bleed out. Oh, it's very important that we, as a farmer, you have some basic knowledge of what extreme injuries are, what compression injuries are, because one wrong move, if a neighbor would have brought their tractor over and lifted the tractor up thinking that they're helping, that would be detrimental to what happened. So getting a base level understanding of traumatic injuries and doing what you can to make your equipment better seen on the road are two big things that we can learn from this and we can all try to improve on.
Excellent, Doug. And call for help immediately. Don't wait.
Absolutely.
I've been in a couple of situations like that where I didn't wait, and I'm so glad that I did, and I called for help immediately, and it turned out better because that's the decision that we made. Doug, it's good to get to know you on AgriTalk here, buddy. Good luck. Congratulations. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Chip. Have a good day.
All right. Farmer Forum next.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from ProFarmer.
Joining us now, ProFarmer editor Brian Grady. Beach, we talked about the expectations for the Fed, what they might do at the conclusion of their meeting today. Some of the markets that were dealing with risk off earlier this week are getting a bounce today. I don't think that's any big surprise, is it?
No, probably not. You know, I think the expectation is building that the Fed will be more aggressive than what they've telegraphed. And so a 75 basis point increase may be in the cards this afternoon. We'll have to wait and see at 1 central time what that decision is. But there's going to be an increase. It's either 50 points or 75 points. It's just a matter of what the Fed chooses.
All right. Very good. What's the feature in the grain markets today?
You know what? We saw a cancellation of soybean sales, old crop soybean sales to unknown destinations this morning, but it's not really having a market impact. So I think the bigger issue right now is the heat that's out there and traders not really knowing what impact it'll be. I think it doesn't hurt the crop, and it probably helps with this early crop growth and stuff. But the market is sure trading to the upside at the moment.
It seems like the heat is helping out this cattle trade some today.
Yeah, that and the fact that the cash market showed really good strength, especially in that northern market. And that northern market, the supplies are tighter anyway. And now the heat has caused some depth loss issues there, and that'll further tighten up that near-term supply of market-ready cattle. And as a result, we got futures off and sprinting sharply higher this morning. July hogs are trading sharply to the upside as well, with lesser gains in some of the deferred contracts there.
Yeah, may have a little bit to do with some disruption of movement of those market-ready hogs. Thanks, Beach. That's Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now. Players,
put your pinky rings up to the moon. Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG. Pop, pop, it's showtime. 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 Showtime.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory Davis. Doug's the line that hit me the hardest from Doug talking about that accident is just because it's legal doesn't mean that it's the safest option. And then he really drove it home when he said, we owe it to ourselves. You owe it to your families to make sure that you're doing things in the safest possible way out there. Man,
well,
great message from Doug.
Yeah, and you know, another key, I think, to that conversation was, what do you say they were just traveling three quarters of a mile. Oh, we're just gonna hop over there right quick and
unload, you know, this hay.
Yep. In those short little jumps, awareness needs to be heightened, and anything can happen.
Crazy. All right, let's get to this week's Farmer Forum. You know, I'm going to bring in Tim Burrock from Northeast Iowa first. Tim, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm well, Chip. Good morning.
Good morning. What you up to this morning?
Well, I'm out doing the Lord's work. We've got two rock crews, and we're picking up the spring harvest. And you know that's biblical, Chip.
That's right.
Harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Yes, that's right. And it in Northeast Iowa, it happens every spring, doesn't it?
Yep, I farm right on the line where the glacier went and where it didn't. And so we call them glacial till stones.
Yep, yeah, and there are plenty of them to be harvested. So how'd things go this spring
it's
for you?
Hard work. Yes. Hard work cleaning up after a glacier. Lots of work. So the spring is a month behind, but it went pretty well. But it, you know, instead of doing something in April, everything happened in about a 7-day period in May, you know, and so it was compressed. The crops are behind. The beans are about as slow as I've ever seen beans. They just seem like they just don't want to come, but the corn looks good and the stands are good. One thing about picking up rocks, you can see what you got. Growing.
Yep. Well, I noticed that you can at least row those beans in that cover crop north of the house there. So they are coming.
Yeah, they're coming, but they're slow. Just like they just didn't have any push this year. But there'll be beans. Stands are a little thin on them, a little less than we like, but not anything we're not going to live with.
Right.
And then the rest of the year, that'll determine everything, as always.
As always. All right, Tim, stand by. Let's get Jay Myers up in North Dakota on the Farmer Forum with us. Jay, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Chip.
Hey, man. What about you? What are you up to this morning?
Well, I think we're going to clean our planters up today and put them away finally. Last night I planted I replanted corn last night. Pretty late, trying to finish up some spots here and there that had drowned it out with them last rains we had. And we replanted some soybeans a few days before that. And we still got some wet areas that we just can't get that this just aren't going to dry out. So we're going to have some prevent plant here. I think we're in a similar situation. We're about a month behind getting all this crop in the ground.
Okay. Help me understand some. When you say some prevent plant, can you put a percentage on what you're going to have?
Oh, we would probably have 5% maybe on our farm, which is hardly anything compared to what you hear other farms in the area. You know, as you get into the middle part of the state and north and eastern part of the state, I just heard the other day somebody talking about a guy that farms 9,000 acres and he was only going to get about 2,000 planted. So that's a big chunk of prevent plant there.
It certainly is. It certainly is. We obviously, Jay, going into this Jan 30 acreage report, North Dakota is the wild card. It sounds like it deserves to be.
Right.
Yeah.
I've been hearing different things. I heard something from, one of the corn seed dealers or regional guys, he said one of his dealers sold 5,000 units of corn this year, and 3,500 of it was returned because it didn't get planted.
Oh, geez. Okay.
If you start figuring nuts. That percentage across corn acres, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. That is crazy. Jay, is the lateness of the crop, is that what's got you concerned the most up there, or is there something else?
Yeah, I think the lateness has been kind of on everybody's mind, you know, thinking, well, is this crop going to make it or not? Well, the little couple weeks or a month that we get behind on some of this in the spring isn't really what makes the crop. It's what happens in the summer. And now they're forecasting this hot weather coming in this weekend, which is probably a few weeks earlier than what we normally see, warm weather like that. So that's really going to help, I think, speed this crop up and help it catch up.
Yeah. Okay. Tim, what about you? Are you optimistic about your crop potential this year, or where do you stand?
Yeah, I'm very optimistic, but it depends on the growing season. We need those growing degree units, and so, you know, to make this go. And so the heat, you know, they were talking about the heat, and we're about right for moisture now. We missed all the storms last night, the heat will help a lot. We got to do it. We got a lot of catching up to do. My concern is LP gas and diesel fuel, you know, and trying to find some of that for fall. And trying to shop around a little bit, and it, people don't know what to think.
Well, yeah. Yeah. You know, talking about the condition of the crop, I had to get out and run a few errands early this morning. And Tim, some of the low spots north of Cedar Falls, they've got some yellow spots in the cornfields. I was surprised by it, but they're sitting with maybe a little bit too much moisture in some of those low spots, and that's some sandier ground, man. We need the heat. That's the bottom line. The crop needs some heat, needs to get a shot in the arm to get things up and running. Okay, you mentioned the fuel prices, Tim. That fits right into an inflation conversation. Everything that's happening with the fuel prices, and fertilizer prices have backed off, but has it changed your outlook for your farm for the year ahead?
Well, you know, it's adding concerns, and it's sure adding turmoil. You know, this inflation, this is at these rates, you know, everybody talks 8%. Well, we all know what inputs are doing, you know, fertilizer, diesel fuel doubling, fertilizer tripling. You know, I'm side dressing ammonia right now, and, you know, and the price of that is sad when you look at it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you got to have it. That's how I grow a crop, is always side dress, so that's part of my plan. But yes, it's very concerning, Chip, very concerning, and I don't like it. And worst part is half of it or more is man-made, you know, it's brought upon us.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. Jay, how have the increased input costs changed how you're thinking about your business going forward?
Well, it's a concern. You're always looking out, you know, to the next crop usually, and trying to figure out what's going to cash flow. And, you know, this year, a lot of guys bought stuff ahead of time, you know, so they got prices, you know, at a little better price. But even at that, you know, if it was bought in September through December last fall, you know, it was way higher than what it was the previous year. So,
yeah,
you know, you start figuring out all these numbers and cash flow, and, you know, we got to have these better numbers just to make things work with these high price fertilizer and everything, fuel. And I just was talking to our retailer the other day here about propane. You know, you're looking at $1.50 propane right now, you know, and it's looking like we're going to need that this fall, more so than we have the last few years. It's been on the drier side for the crop the last few years, but now this year we got to start thinking about those things.
Yeah. Okay. So you're at $1.50 on propane. Tim, would you book $1.50 propane down here in Northeast Iowa?
Well, I've had it at $1.58, I heard, and I haven't done anything yet. And maybe some, you know, you've got to have it. So you do some and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm looking at it.
Okay. Well, I'd probably go ahead and book, and Davis, jump in here if you want. I'd probably go ahead and book the $150 because the summer fill or the keep full rate that I had quoted to me was $183.
Yep.
I don't.
Well, a lot of these companies will be out in July with their contracting programs for LP.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we want to wait for that or not. I don't know what, if I knew what was right, I could have your job, Chip.
Yeah. Right. Right. You know, but I told my wife that, hey, this is one of those times when we're looking at trying to figure out what to do with this, you know, to pre-book it or not. In the past, I've always just pre-booked it because then I know what my cost is going to be. This year, the risk is that you're wrong.
Yeah, I think the interesting dynamic from last week on this LP, you know, we're exporting everything. We're exporting the natural gas. We're exporting the LP. We're exporting the diesel fuel. And that's part of what our issues are. But that natural gas explosion down there in Freeport at that LGN,
yep,
or LNG terminal, you know, and brought natural gas down, I think it's an interesting dynamic.
Yep. Okay, buddy, we got to take a break. We're going to talk more about fuel costs on the Farmer Forum on AgriTalk next.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Find farm equipment on Machinery Pete's June 21st. Online auction. No reserve, no buyer fees. Start bidding now. Auctions.machinerypete.com.
Welcome back to the Farmer Forum here on AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Florey. We are talking with Jay Myers from North Dakota, Tim Burrock from Iowa. Tim, you were in danger of upsetting our president there at the end of that last segment. It sounds like you were suggesting that his policies might have something to do with these fuel prices and inflation in general. it's become a hot potato for the administration, just looking to see how quickly they can pass on blame for inflation to anybody else other than the administration, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree with that. And it started with energy. The day after the election in November 20, that next day, oil started going up, and it really hasn't quit. I mean, it was in his campaign what they were going to do. They were going to, change fossil fuel usage, and they've succeeded. Unfortunately, it's played right into a huge picture of other unforeseen events.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jay, I don't know if there's a state that's been impacted by this any more than your state up there in North Dakota.
Right. Yeah, I heard they've increased drilling going on out in the western part of the state and increasing production. So hopefully that helps, but there's too many other things I think that are affecting with what's happened with all the changes in this administration.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just adds to uncertainty going forward and trying to put together a business plan for you guys. The good news is, and a note here for tomorrow, U.S. Representative Abigail Spanberger from Virginia is going to be on the show tomorrow to talk about some legislation that she is pushing called the Lower Food and Fuel Costs Act, and it includes about seven different pieces of legislation, guys, that in one way or another are going to have an impact on agriculture, ranging from that special investigator for the Packers and Stockyards down to E15, year-round availability of E15, which is something that I know you're a big proponent of, Tim.
Yeah, that'd be good if that was part of it. So, you know, that'd be great. The other stuff I don't know. I do know that Packers, you know, especially concentration in beef isn't good. So, you know, maybe looking into that would be good. There might be some good things in there. The issue isn't what are the good things. It's the detrimental ones.
Right. Right. So the goal here, you know, when I look at this, it's to lower food and fuel costs. Well, to me, I read that headline, and for the average taxpayer out there, Jay, you'd read that as good news. But for an input supplier into the food market and into the fuel market, they're trying to lower your costs with this legislation, right?
Well, you can't just lower the cost of food or commodities and fuel without lowering all the other costs out there. You know, look at the cost of machinery these days, how much it's gone up, and our, you know, our fertilizer and all that. You can't just lower one without the rest of it. Otherwise it just ain't going to work.
Right. Right. So Jay, if you had an opportunity to sit down with President Biden right now and voice to him what you would like to see done to help fight the inflation that we're dealing with, what would your message be?
Well, I think they got to allow more fuel and oil to be produced in the United States. This is kind of ridiculous that we're relying on all this stuff overseas. But the renewable fuels too going on, you know, needs to be pushed more and more. This electrification that they're trying to do with all the vehicles and stuff, is there's nothing wrong with that, but you can't force that in a country, you know, that needs to just happen on its own. So, and we get these years where we have a little shortage of crops and stuff, prices react, but the market usually takes care of itself.
Yeah. Yeah. And too many times, in my opinion, I think we're trying to legislate fixes for perceived issues out there, when if we just give it a little time, the market will work it out. Tim, if you had that opportunity to sit down with President Biden right now, what would your message be to him?
I'd echo Jay. I said, let's go back to domestic production, both fossil and renewable, and let us do our thing. We've got 2 billion gallons ethanol in storage right now that, you know, come onto the market price at half the price of gasoline. But it's not, but it could be. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's energy around if we could just use it. But there's this restriction coming from above that's holding things back. And now we're going to Saudi Arabia hat in hand.
Yeah.
It makes a normal man pull hair.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And Tim, we could pump up the biofuels offering in the country, promote the higher blends, make it available as quickly as we can, and it can still be part of the administration's overall story about how they are doing things to lower carbon emissions, right?
You bet. It would be one of the great tools that they would have.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Jay, what do you got planned for the rest of the week? Oh, go ahead, Tim. Real quick.
You know, he announced he's going to release 40 million barrels of oil out of the reserve. You know, we produce, 11, 12 a day? That's 4 days of supply.
Yep.
It isn't even a Band-Aid anymore, that the things they're doing.
That's right. That's right. Jay, I was going to find out what you got going the rest of the week, but, you know, get that equipment cleaned up, get it stored away, get it ready for next year, okay, buddy?
Yeah, we're trying to spray, I guess, right now, but it's been windy.
Yeah, been windy, and we need to get things under control there. Thanks for joining us today, Jay. Tim, we'll talk to you again soon, buddy.
Thank you.
Have All right, Jay Myers up in North Dakota. Tim Burrock here in Northeast Iowa. Guys, come back this afternoon. Jim Bauer, Bauer Trading, right here on AgriTalk.